Welcome to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. I'm Sarah of the blog Sarah's Bookshelves. Each week, I'm talking with one bookish guest about two old books they love, two new books they love, one book they don't love, and one new release they're excited about. We're going to get real and sometimes a bit snarky about all things books. If you like the show, I'd really love your support. Spread the word to your reader friends, subscribe to the show, rate and review it wherever you listen to podcasts, or get bonus podcast episodes by supporting the podcast on Patreon. There's a link in the show notes and in my Instagram bio to my Patreon page. Let's get rolling. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the 2020 Fall Book Preview. As usual for these quarterly preview episodes, Catherine from the blog Gilmore Guide to Books is joining me. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
It is so nice to talk to you. It's been what feels like a while.
Yeah. Every time we talk, it's like the world has changed again.
Yes.
Anyway, we're here to talk about books, and those are always a good thing.
Yeah. We are going to highlight today books that we're excited about that are coming out from August to December of 2020. And I know that feels like a really long segment of time for one of these episodes, but publishing really slows down in November and definitely in December. So many of the books you'll hear about today are coming out October earlier. And this year, I think, is especially weird. Number one, it was always going to be a weird year because it's an election year. And I know that publishers don't like putting out new books right around an election time, particularly literary fiction books, because it's just hard to fight for attention amongst all the election coverage. Also, now with COVID, a lot of publishers have either pushed back spring and summer releases to fall because of COVID. So it's become a little bit crowded. And that is also causing fears of it being too crowded, which is in turn causing publishers to push some things into 2021. So everything's crazy.
That it is.
The publication dates we're going to share today are as of August 6th. Can't promise where they're going to be when this episode releases on September 2nd. And also, normally we don't record these episodes this far in advance, but with August kind of vacations and stuff, we had to kind of get this one nailed down. First of all, let me share my summer preview stats. For anyone new listeners, we do this every quarterly preview. We share our success rates from the previous quarterly preview. I ended up liking 67% of the books I shared in my summer preview. And that's 4 out of 6. And that's slightly better than the quarter before that, which was 57%. So tell me about your stats from the summer.
It's not too bad. I mean, 50%.
That's good.
It's fine. It's down from 63% last year.
Yes.
But up from 44% in the spring. And given that my reading is so all over the board right now. Yeah, I'm not going to beat myself up over it. It is what it is.
And I think for both of us and for many others, our picking of books is difficult right now because
yes,
maybe the level of distraction in the world causes, and I know this is the case for me, causes me to not like books I normally would or to not be able to focus on them. And maybe to pick up and enjoy some things that normally I wouldn't as much because they're just able to hold my attention.
Absolutely. And what will hold my attention, I used to be able to tell you.
Totally.
Oh, this is what I like. Now, I can't.
Right. Let's talk about our best and worst picks from the summer episode. So my best is Craigslist Confessional by Helena de Abella. And I am so thrilled to see that this book is getting more and more attention on Instagram as time goes on. And I read it so far before it came out that I had not really seen anybody else's opinions of it. I'm thrilled to see her getting all this attention. So yay for Helena. And also, if you missed the episode that I did with her, that was episode 63, came out in early July.
And I read it based on you sharing it in that episode. And I really, really enjoyed it. I think maybe because I read it more recently, I did find a lot of the stories, they're just so depressing.
They are depressing.
And it was like, oh my gosh, I can't. This hurts these people, these stories. But I thought it was really well done.
See, this is what my Corona reading has, that sounds a lot more fun than it is.
I was going to say, that sounds like spring break in Mexico.
I know. I got to have a different word for that. My COVID reading has gone a weird direction. It has gone like fluff. I cannot read because I'm like, this is so dumb. The world is so not like this.
Right, right.
And I know a lot of people are finding escape in fluff right now. And I don't know why I'm not, but I am gravitating instead towards these incredibly difficult, harrowing stories. I don't know if it feels a little bit cathartic to live in somebody else's problems that are amazingly enough worse than mine. I don't know.
Right.
And they hold my attention because they're so intense.
Right.
All right. What was your favorite from the summer?
Well, my favorite, we kind of had an exchange. It was one of the ones that I mentioned that you ended up reading and loving. And it was,
I did.
It's called What's Left of Me Is Yours by Stephanie Scott. And it was a real dark horse because I wasn't sure if it was going to be sensationalistic or more literary. And it turned out to be a perfect blend of both.
I agree.
Right? I thought the aspects about the Japanese legal system surrounding divorce and murder were fascinating. They're so different than America.
Fascinating and horrifying for women, especially.
Totally. Absolutely. But yes, that to me was could not stop reading kind of book.
Yeah. I liked that one too. Let's talk about our worst. The Loyalties by Delphine de Vigan. I had read her before, her book based on a true story I loved. This one just, it almost didn't feel finished. It felt like it was the start of a really interesting premise that never got deep enough. And it was only, it was less than 200 pages long. So there's that. It just felt like almost a sampling of what a really interesting novel could be about this, but never got there.
Okay.
What's yours?
Mine is Parakeet by Marie Helene Bertino.
Oh, no. She's a trusted author for you, too, isn't she?
I don't know how many books she's written. I just liked her previous novel.
Okay.
It wasn't terrible. It was just cluttered. There was a story, a nugget in there, a relationship between a brother and sister that was really, really profoundly touching and interesting. But she threw in this kind of magical element, which is the title of the book, Parakeet. And it is that she thinks her grandmother is appearing to her as a parakeet, telling her what to do before she gets married.
Oh, yes, I remember this now. This was the one I was like, I'm not going to be able to buy into that.
Right. And you know what? Unfortunately, her previous book had magical realism and it worked. This time, it didn't.
Fair. Let's get into fall books. This episode, Catherine and I each picked 8 books instead of 6 because we're covering so many months that are, as I said, coming out between August and December. So you'll get a total of 16 books today. We are, as usual, not holding ourselves to a specific number of books per month because we just want to pick the top 8 that we're most excited about. And unless otherwise mentioned, we have not yet read these books. Although I have read 2¾ of my books, so I'll tell you which ones those are when we get there. I'm going to share my first book. I want to preface it with the fact that this is not the way I normally like to start a preview episode, and that is with a book that I'm not entirely sold on. But there's a special circumstance with this one. It is a book that the author for me is an auto-buy author. The previous 2 books of his, I have rated 5 stars. I'm 2 for 2 on 5-star reads for him. I was so excited about this one. And a couple people have read galleys of it, people that I trust, and the reviews are mixed. So now I'm a little bit lukewarm, but I wanted to share it anyway because I wanted to talk a little bit about the mixed reviews coming in on this. I think it would be beneficial for people. The book is A Traveler at the Gates of Wisdom by John Boyne. And it's coming out August 11th. So actually, by the time this airs, it will already be out. And I was not able to get a galley, so I could not test this out for y'all. It's historical fiction, and I am going to attempt to describe the plot, but it's a really complicated plot. So I'm going to first read exactly word for word what the publisher's synopsis says, at least part of it. And then I'm going to kind of summarize it a bit. Quoting directly straight from the publisher's synopsis now, it starts with a family which will mutate. For now, it is a father, mother, and 2 sons, one with his father's violence in his blood, one who lives his mother's artistry. One leaves, one stays. They will be joined by others whose deeds will change their fate. It is a beginning. Seems very convoluted to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty complicated. Okay.
So based on what I've heard from people that have read it, here's my kind of summary. It follows an unnamed protagonist beginning in Palestine in AD 1 and checking in at various intervals in history over the course of thousands of years. And his friends and family and sort of general situations stay the same, even though they all move through these different periods of time.
That's a lot.
It's long. It's almost 500 pages. And it apparently explores the idea of commonalities among humans, despite living in vastly different times and places. This goes across multiple countries as well. This is a book that I suspect, and I've heard too, will take a lot of concentration, a lot of work. There's a lot of jumping around in time. And all of this is not usually my cup of tea.
No, Sarah.
No. But it's John Boyne.
That's true. Okay.
So John Boyne, y'all, I can't believe I didn't say this until now. God, I've lost my hosting mojo. Woo. John Boyne is the author of The Heart's Invisible Furies.
Yes.
Which is my literal favorite novel of the past like 5 or 6 years. And it was long too. And it also jumped in time. But just his writing is so out of this world. I just feel like I could read anything he wrote about anything.
Well, you got to go with that.
I do.
Except.
Yeah, so except. Let's talk about two trusted recommendation sources for me that have different opinions of this book. Liz Hine, who is a patron of the show, and her and I's taste generally lines up. She loved this book. She rated it 5 stars. She said that the ending is a little wild and might feel politically heavy-handed for some, but she loved it. Liz, as well as a couple of the reviews I saw on Goodreads, actually multiple of the reviews I saw on Goodreads, said that this book is unlike any other that they've ever read in their life. On the flip side, Susie from Novel Visits, who y'all know as a recurring co-host on the show, she also loves John Boyne. And she said that she appreciated the clever premise, but just wasn't as keen on how the book panned out overall. Lots of repetition. And she ended up skimming a lot of parts because of that. And she did not feel like the ending was anything special. Two different people I totally trust and two different opinions. I really don't know where I'm going to land. This is definitely, admittedly, a book I would never pick up based on the premise and the structure. But given the author, I know I'll give it a shot. Whether I persist, I don't know. We'll have to see. But I wanted to lay all this out there for y'all so you can make your own judgments on whether you might want to give this book a shot or not.
Well, I have it on my list as well. And I had some of the same trepidation that you're having. But when I read the synopsis and heard about it, it reminded me of Cloud Atlas.
Oh.
By David Mitchell, which covers, you know, millennia.
Yes.
But I loved it. So I'm going in nervously optimistic. How's that?
That sounds good. So that was A Traveler at the Gates of Wisdom by John Boyne, and that came out August 11th. Catherine, tell me about your first book.
My first pick is from the author David Joy. His novel, Hold the Line, was a favorite of mine last year, and I liked it so much that I ended up going back and reading two of his backlist books. His latest comes out on August 18th and is called When These Mountains Burn. And here's my big surprise for this episode. For the first time ever on your podcast, I've already read the book.
Yay!
That never happens, right? The novel centers around three characters. Ray, an older man whose adult son, Ricky, is a meth addict. Rodriguez, who's a DEA agent trying to break a local drug ring in the community where Ricky and Ray live, and Denny, another addict whose bad choices put him in the midst of the other two men. The novel is quintessential David Joy. He writes Southern Grit Lit. This is set in North Carolina, and it takes place partly on tribal lands owned by the Cherokee. It was dark, evocative, and compelling. It's a world kind of like we were talking about earlier, I have no experience in, but the despair of people suffering from addiction and those watching it happen is palpable.
Right.
It was just wonderfully done. I gave it 4 stars. This is When These Mountains Burn by David Joy, and it comes out on August 18th.
Let me make one correction. First of all, the book that he wrote previously is called The Line That Held Us.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I've read that one and I really liked it. And I also read Where All Light Tends to Go.
I did too.
Which I think was his debut. And again, like gritty drugs and definitely not light and happy. Let's put it that way.
No.
Take a guess what the average rating on Goodreads is for this.
Please tell me it's at least 4.
4.58.
Okay.
That's high.
Yeah, that is. I didn't love it as much as The Line That Held Us, but it's still good.
Well, I'm definitely planning to read this in August. Yay.
Okay. What have you got next?
Yeah, so I got a big book next. I would imagine most people on this podcast have at least heard of this or heard of the author or have this on their radar, but I'm really excited about it as well. And that is Transcendent Kingdom by Yah Jesse. And it is coming out September 1st. It's literary fiction. She is the author of the novel Homegoing, which was hugely successful. And that was her debut novel. And I actually have not read that.
Neither have I.
No. So
I know.
But I really like the sound of the premise of this novel. And it's actually goes into drug addiction as well. It's a story about a Ghanaian family living in Alabama. The daughter's name is Gifty, like a Christmas gift, but with a Y on the end. She is a medical student at Stanford who is studying depression and addiction after her brother, who was a star high school athlete, died of a heroin overdose. He became addicted to Oxy following an ankle injury. Following that, her mother fell into a deep depression. So she's sort of studying all these things to make sense of what happened in her own family. I love this premise.
It sounds like Dope Sick, the nonfiction book.
Exactly. What I learned from Dope Sick by Beth Macy was that the way that many people do become addicted to Oxy is when they are prescribed it by doctors for legitimate injuries.
Right.
So this rings true. A number of people have already read it and loved it. Carla from Happiest When Reading, who is one of my reading twins, she rated it 4.5 stars. Tyler Goodson rated it 5 stars. Roxanne Gay rated it 5 stars. Hunter from Shelf by Shelf rated it. Actually, I don't know what he rated it, but he really liked it. And Ann Bogle liked it as well. I've read a couple other books about fiction and nonfiction books about addiction. And I don't know. This is just a topic that I seem to be able to read a lot about and just find fascinating. And Dope Sick, I mentioned already, but Smacked is a memoir by Eileen Zimmerman.
Wow. Yes.
Catherine and I both just listened to that on audio. Awesome. And then Long Bright River by Liz Moore, which most of y'all have heard of. Fiction. The other thing that this book goes into is the relationship between faith and science. And I also heard this book is really different from Homegoing. The early reviews are showing that people are loving it just as much, but that it's really showing her range as a writer. And I saw the words masterpiece, the book of 2020, mentioned multiple times on Goodreads. And the average rating is 4.43 stars, which is high on Goodreads.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
I also sampled the first chapter and I really wanted to just keep going and drop what I was reading at the time, which I was reading for something else, so I couldn't drop it. But I am really excited to get back to it.
I have this one as well, and I am very interested. I started Homegoing and loved her writing, but it was historical.
Same.
And it covered multiple generations. And at the time, I just could not follow the thread of how all these people and families were connected. So something set in contemporary times, I'm really looking forward to that.
And I like the focus on one family.
Yes.
That was Transcendent Kingdom by Yah Jesse, coming out September 1st. What is your next book?
My next book is my first debut pick for fall, and it's The Last Story of Mina Lee by Nancy Kim. The novel begins when Margot Lee learns her mother has died and no one has answers about how or what happened. So she goes back home to Koreatown in LA, which is where she grew up and where her mother lived, to find answers. And the novel largely focuses on the mother's life, Mina, who arrives in America as an undocumented Korean immigrant. She works in a grocery store and falls in love, which turns out to be a big mistake, which I think is part of the mystery of the story. You have this blend of mystery about her death with the deeper issues of being undocumented and, for Margot, being first generation American. So you've got a lot of layers going on, which is always appealing to me. And there's the additional element of the difficulty for Margot of being the link to the old world and the new world for her mother. And when you add that to normal mother-daughter tensions, I find that really interesting. It reminds me of Girl in Translation by Jean Kwok,
right,
which was an outstanding novel about life as an undocumented immigrant. That was an eye-opener for me. That's the last story of Mina Lee, and it comes out September 1st.
So two things about this book. Number one, it's published by the same people who published Saving Ruby King,
mm-hmm.
Park Row Books, which is a pretty small publisher.
They are.
They're now on my radar after Saving Ruby King.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, I love is a weird word, reading books about children of immigrants that are in America that, like you said, span between two worlds, like the more traditional world where their parents came from and then the more Americanized world of their peers. I'll talk more about another book that deals with that topic later in this episode.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. My next book is a bit of a recovery book. You would probably need one after the first two books I shared. It is Majesty by Catherine McGee, coming out again September 1st. This is young adult. It is brain candy. It is romance. It is not normally something I read, but it is the sequel to American Royals, which I absolutely loved. It was just total unapologetic fun, and I can't wait to see what happens next in this story. Here's the problem with talking about this book. I can't talk about the premise at all without giving away what happens in American Royals. So I will tell you a little bit about American Royals, and then I will tell you, if you are interested in reading this series and have not read American Royals yet, do not read the synopsis of Majesty. Don't look at it on Amazon. Don't look at it on Goodreads. Don't look at it anywhere. It will give away everything.
Oh, good to know, because I haven't read either.
If you haven't read either and you want to, do not look at the synopsis of Majesty.
Okay.
So, quick refresher, American Royals reimagines the U.S. if George Washington had been a monarch and not a president. The book basically deals with his present day descendants. There is Beatrice, who's the oldest daughter, and she is the heir to the crown. The story really centers around Beatrice and her siblings and her cousins, and there's multiple sort of young adults in the story to follow. Carla at Happiest When Reading, again, rated it 5 stars. Kaylee from KMC Reads also liked it. I'll say this about American Royals. I assume it will probably be the case with Majesty as well. There were some moments that were a little too coincidental for me, but it's YA, it's romance. I just let that stuff slide when I'm reading this kind of book, I guess.
You have to. It's like Crazy Rich Asians.
Just roll with it. Carla said she liked this even more than she liked American Royals. And finally, I thought this was going to be a trilogy, and I think there was stuff out there that was saying this was going to be a trilogy. Now I was able to confirm with the author that this is actually, it's just going to be a 2-book series.
Oh.
So this is the final book. American Royals ended on a cliffhanger, so this picks up sort of right where it left off. That was Majesty by Catherine McGee, coming out September 1st. Catherine, tell me about your next book.
Well, I only have one nonfiction.
That's normal for you, one nonfiction.
I was going to say, that's even a lot. But when you were talking about your reading right now during COVID and lockdown and everything, that's what's changed for me. I am reading and listening to more nonfiction than ever, which, as you know, is totally bizarre.
But it's bizarre times.
Yes, that's true. That's true. This book is called A Knock at Midnight by Brittany Barnett. It comes out September 8th. She's a law student, She learns about a young woman named Sharonda Jones who's serving life without parole for a first-time nonviolent drug offense.
Whoa.
Brittany finishes school, graduates, and goes to work in a high-powered law office by day, but takes on Sharonda's case pro bono at night. And part of the reason is she sees how her life could have ended up the same way, because her mother was in prison for a time and she was involved with the drug dealer when she was younger. Synopsis reminds me of Bryan Stevenson's Just Mercy, which I don't know if you read that, but
I haven't. It's been on my list forever.
It's a really outstanding book about a black man in the South being railroaded into prison for a murder he clearly didn't commit. So I know this is going to be difficult reading, but I feel like it's so important given where we are right now in America and how woefully ignorant most of us are about racism and how the criminal justice system perpetuates it. Like you were saying before, it's hard to say I'm looking forward to it because that sounds happy, but I really want to read this book. And it's A Knock at Midnight by Brittany Barnett, and it comes out September 8th.
Damn you. You keep adding to my TBR list.
Hey, it's mutual.
Books that were not even on my radar. And this is one that I could listen to on audio. I like listening to memoirs on audio.
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
All right. My next book is one that was really hoping to finish before we recorded, but I haven't been able to finish it yet. I'm at about 75%. I'm really enjoying it. It is a debut novel, literary fiction, called His Only Wife by Peace Adzo Medea, coming out again September 1st. Lord, September 1st is really a packed date.
Yes.
So this story is about a young girl named Afi, and she lives in Ghana with her widowed mother and is offered, and I'm using air quotes here because lots of ways to interpret this, the opportunity to marry a wealthy man she's never met. Some cultures would consider that an opportunity and some would not. He does not show up at their wedding and sends someone else in his place. And nevertheless, the marriage ends up going through. Afi moves to a swanky apartment in Accra and discovers her husband is involved with somebody else.
Uh-oh.
I have not heard much about this book nothing on Instagram. I haven't seen it on Instagram, really.
I haven't heard anything.
It's a book I found on the Book Riot preview, like a blog post they did previewing upcoming releases. It's an own voices novel. The author grew up in Ghana and she is a women's rights advocate. The book kind of deals with that theme, or it explores the impact of Ghanaian patriarchal culture on women. Afi struggles with her role as wife to a virtually absent man, also with her desire to pursue an independent career in design. It's kind of about her journey of figuring out what matters to her and how she can balance these two roles in her life that kind of are at odds with each other. I would also say that this is definitely panning out to be more of a love story than I expected. I kind of thought it would be this like badass lady book. It definitely has a love story angle, and I'm not sure how everything is going to pan out, but I am really interested to see where this goes in the last quarter. It is a really tough look at what these women are sort of expected to do in this culture. Like, if your parents make a deal with another family that involves you going and marrying some guy, you're kind of expected to do it. And this really portrays how this impacts Afi and what her town thinks of her for the various actions she takes. This author has been compared to Chimamanda Adichie, who wrote Americana, and to Candace Cardi Williams, who wrote Queenie, which I have not read Queenie, but I think it was her debut that came out a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's really good. I enjoyed it.
I am really enjoying this novel. It's easy to read. It is engrossing. I like Afi. I'm rooting for her. And I am really interested to see how it wraps up. That is His Only Wife by Peace Adzo Medea and coming out September 1st.
I'm adding that to my TBR. That sounds really good.
I think you would like it. It's relatively short too.
My next pick is an author that I'm sure a lot of your listeners are going to know and who probably love every word he's written. It's Frederick Bachman. I have a mixed relationship with him.
So do I.
Okay. I loved Beartown, but not Us Against Them. And those are the only two of his books I've read. But given some of the other reading that I have going on for fall, this just seemed like a natural. The premise of his newest novel, which comes out September 8th and is called Anxious People, made me laugh out loud when I read it, which is always a good sign. And I'll be reading this at the same time I'm reading A Knock at Midnight, so I'll need something lighter for mental balance. This is about a man who attempts to rob a bank, fails, and runs away. In trying to hide, he enters an open house in an apartment building and ends up taking everyone in the open house hostage, which, I mean, doesn't sound particularly funny, but it's eight adults. And as the standoff continues and the media is gathering outside and they're checking their phones and the tension is growing, these eight individuals start spilling their lives and their secrets. And they become so annoying that the robber is left trying to decide which is worse, surrendering to the police or being stuck with these people for one more minute, which, given that I'm so desperate for face-to-face conversation, I know, I'm so desperate for face-to-face conversation with another human being, I'm starting to share personal information with the McDonald's drive-thru cashier. So this sounds relatably funny to me. And I do enjoy his writing. So I think this could be a really great, I don't know if brain candy is the right word, but just good humor. And I'm ready for it. And that's Anxious People. And it comes out September 8th.
I feel like this premise sounds like it could be completely ridiculous and go completely off the rails or just be amazing.
Yes, I agree completely. It could. I'm really hoping it doesn't go off the rails.
Me too. I'm planning to read this as well. And my relationship with him is mixed, but in a little bit of a different way. I love Beartown and I loved Us Against Them, that entire series. I tried to read A Man Called Uva. I just could not get into it. And I know I'm literally one of the only people on earth that says that, but oh well.
No, I'm right here next to you. The premise alone, I just was like, okay, I'm not interested. I never even read it. And I know people rave about it, but
oh yeah,
there you have it.
To each his own.
That's right. Well, what's next for you?
My next book is nonfiction, and I've already read it. It is Good Morning Monster by Katherine Gildener. It's coming out September 22nd. This is her memoir. I struggle whether to call it a memoir or nonfiction. One of the two. I'm not sure which is really correct. But she was a psychologist in Canada for many years before becoming a writer. In this book, she shares the stories of her five, and this I'm using her direct words right now, most heroic and memorable patients. So it's very similar to Maybe You Should Talk to Someone by Lori Gottlieb.
I loved that book. That was my number one nonfiction of last year.
Yeah, I loved that book as well. And I'm discovering that psychotherapy books, specifically nonfiction, are really hitting the spot for me right now. And I have another one coming up later in the show.
Okay.
So this was originally recommended to me by Sarah Pekkanen, who wrote You Are Not Alone, An Anonymous Girl, The Wife Between Us with Greer Hendricks. She shared it as her upcoming release on my podcast earlier this year. I rated it 4.5 stars. So I said earlier that books that were working for me during coronavirus sometimes were about other people's problems who are worse than mine. And this book fell squarely in that camp. The five patients that she chose to profile, she specifically picked people whose stories ended well and were inspirational. There is a finite sense of closure at the end of each of these stories. And it includes a check-in with this person years later, in many cases, decades later, because some of this stuff happened in like the 80s.
Wow. Okay.
And I think readers will really love that sense of closure and the hopeful note that these stories end on, because they are very intense, difficult stories to read, as you would probably expect. Most of them involved very dysfunctional childhoods. So it kind of feels a bit like a dysfunctional childhood memoir as well. The other book I would compare to is maybe a bit of Craigslist Confessional in there.
Okay, well, yeah, because it's stories.
Yeah, and they don't have the psychotherapy element or the advice element, but the stories themselves really did remind me of Craigslist Confessional in that they really punch you in the gut.
Okay.
That is Good Morning Monster by Katherine Gildener, coming out September 22nd. What's your next book?
It is, I loved Sayaka Murata's last novel, Convenience Store Woman, because of a highly unusual main character. So she has a new novel coming out on October 6th called Earthlings. Once again, she's back with a female protagonist who doesn't fit into the typical Japanese gender role for women. As a child, Natsuki has a wild imagination, believing herself to be a witch or an alien. But she outgrows it, grows up, marries, and is now facing the traditional pressures to have children. And this is causing her a tremendous amount of stress because she doesn't know if it's even what she wants. So she returns to the mountains where she spent her childhood, looking to reunite with a friend she made a promise with as a child, in the hopes that he can save her and help her recapture the person she once was. And what I love about Murata is how the mundane becomes unexpected. So, you know, Convenience Store Woman is about a woman who spends her whole life working in a convenience store. And yet it is quirky, relatable, it's funny. I mean, I've read the synopsis for Earthlings, but how it will actually unfold is a complete mystery to me. And that's what draws me in. I'm really excited about this. And it's Earthlings. It comes out October 6th.
I remember being sort of interested in Convenience Store Woman, and I never got to it. Shocking. It happens to me all the time.
It's really short.
Yes. There's that. Maybe I'll put it on my December list. My next book is another big author. It is The Searcher by Tana French. It's coming out October 6th. I would categorize this as suspense fiction. I think many people would also categorize her as mystery or thriller. I actually disagree with that. I'll talk about that in a second, but let me tell you about the synopsis. A retired Chicago police officer moves to a small Irish village after his divorce. A local boy whose brother has gone missing convinces him to investigate his disappearance, and this leads to the unveiling of lots of secrets in the small town. I love a good small town secrets book.
Oh, absolutely.
I loved The Witch Elm by Tana French, which was her last book. It was also a standalone novel. It was not part of her series, The Dublin Murder Squad. This also is a standalone novel. A couple of the Goodreads reviews I read said that the pace is slower than her Dublin Murder Squad series, and it's more similar to the pace of The Witch Elm. I agree. I almost DNF'd The Witch Elm like 10% in. So glad I stuck with it. Her stories involve mystery, but they're very character-driven too.
Yes.
If you have never read her before, or you've only read the Murder Squad series, I don't want you to go in thinking it's going to be immediately fast-paced right out of the gates. It's probably not going to be that way. It's more character-driven suspense fiction.
I'm curious about her because I read Witch Elm. I thought it was good, but I know she has a huge backlist.
She does.
And tons of fans. I'm a little curious, or I wonder if she's one of those authors where I'm missing out and I should be reading more of her work.
I've read one book in the Dublin series.
Uh-huh.
And which one was it? The Secret Place, maybe? And I liked it, but I remember being like, God, it took me half the book to get into this.
Oh, no, not right now.
But I would like to go back and read the first book in that series. She does have a really extensive backlist, y'all. Yeah, I would like to go back and read In the Woods, which is the first book in the Dublin Murder Squad series.
Okay.
I've also heard that the town is like another character in the story, which I always like, and that the characters are very nuanced with lots of gray areas, not fully likable or dislikable. And I think that was similar to how the characters were in The Witch Elm. So,
yes,
I'm looking forward to it. That is The Searcher by Tana French, coming out October 6th.
I have another big author for my next.
Yes, you do. Let's hear it.
She qualifies as my go-to author for me. It's Alice Hoffman. And I may not have loved every book she's ever written, but her writing always astonishes me. She wrote Practical Magic 25 years ago, and then last year came back with a prequel called The Rules of Magic, which was 5 stars from me. I absolutely adored it, and you could see her growth as a writer in the novel. So I'm really excited for Magic Lessons, which comes out on October 6th, goes back to the beginning of the Owens family, which is the family of women that populate the other two books. Maria Owens is accused of witchcraft in Salem in the 1600s after she curses a man she loved who abandoned her. And this is the curse that follows the family, the women in the family, through the other books in their lives. Only love a man who will love you back. And it's pretty much this book, Magic Lessons, is going to be the genesis of the family's history. So I'm ready to read this on all levels. Hoffman's writing, her ability to weave a spell with her story, and the pure escape of magic and love. I think this book is really going to hit the spot. And it's Magic Lessons by Alice Hoffman. It comes out October 6th.
I loved The Rules of Magic, even though I didn't think I would. And I read it because of you. I have not read Practical Magic. Do you think that it is a requirement for somebody who's going to read this book that they have read both Practical Magic and The Rules of Magic?
No.
Okay. I guess you're starting at the beginning.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I know. I was so hesitant to mention Rules of Magic to you because I know you don't like magical realism.
No.
Much less magic. And yet I just was like, this is not about weaving spells and all the stereotypical stuff. It's so different. I'm hopeful. I think Magic Lessons is going to be the same way. So I'll vet it for you.
Yay. Perfect. My next book is the second of 2 therapy nonfictions I'm talking about today. I normally wouldn't put 2 such similar books into this episode, but with everything going on in the world and how well these particular types of books have been working for me, I just thought I would go with it. So this is called Group by Christy Tate, coming out October 6th from Avid Reader Press. They are the publisher of The Only Plane in the Sky, Be Still My Heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's a debut. The premise is, despite being an uber successful law student, Christy Tate is thinking of suicide. So she decides to attend group therapy led by a doctor named Dr. Rosen. And this is the story about opening up her innermost life to a group of strangers, sort of the journey that that leads to. It was blurbed by Lori Gottlieb, the author of Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. Unsurprising, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I heard about it first from Morgan Hoyt, who works at Avid Reader Press, and she was on the podcast a little while ago, and she shared this in the Patreon episode. But I want to read the quote from the editorial director at Simon & Schuster, because it literally distills perfectly the reasons that this is appealing to me. She says, quote, "The stakes are high and the tone skews dark, but the story is always leavened with a knowing, lacerated wit."
Ooh.
That's like everything that's been working well for me in a memoir recently.
Right.
That also could be used to describe Stray by Stephanie Dandler. It could be used to describe Smacked by Eileen Zimmerman. It could be used to describe Untamed by Glennon Doyle.
Well, and who doesn't love a lacerating wit?
No, I love a lacerating wit.
I can deal with almost anything if someone has a sharp sense of humor.
Totally. The book opens with a scene where Christy Tate has just discovered she's ranked number 1 in her law school class, yet she's simultaneously contemplating committing suicide. So that's pretty powerful. I'm going to kind of put out this warning, because I did see in some Goodreads reviews that the therapy and the therapist in this book are highly unusual. I also saw the word outrageous used a number of times, particularly relating to the boundaries between a therapist and the patients. So this could be problematic in some ways and rub some people the wrong way. I don't know, because I haven't read it yet, but know that that's there.
Hmm. Okay.
That was Group by Christy Tate, coming out October 6th. What is your next book?
My next pick is another debut novel, and it's called No Heaven for Good Boys by Keisha Bush. It's set in modern day Senegal, which is a country I know very, very little about. Ibrahima is 6 years old when he's sent by his parents from their village to Dakar to study the Quran with his cousin Etienne. The problem is that the religious leader they're supposed to be studying with uses the boys as beggars, street beggars, to support him. So they're children left on the streets of this huge city trying to survive, and there's no education aside from survival. And they are dealing with the predators you would expect, but it's set in contemporary Senegal, and it's a time of increasing political student unrest. So these two little boys have danger coming at them from all sides. It's fiction, but I read that some of the events are pulled from real life events that the author experienced or that she knows of firsthand. I just think it's going to be an interesting view of rural versus urban life, which is something that's, you know, becoming more relevant in all countries. That's No Heaven for Good Boys by Keisha Bush, coming out October 13th.
That sounds like it could be intense.
Yes.
I'd like to see what you think of this and possibly read it myself.
Okay, I'm making a note. Vet for Sarah.
Vet for Sarah. All right, my next book is White Ivy by Susie Yang. This was originally supposed to come out, I believe, in August, and it was pushed to November 3rd after I'd already read it. So,
oh, really? I didn't know you'd already read it. Okay.
So I have read this book. I really liked it. I rated it 4 stars. It is literary fiction, and it's a debut, and it was longlisted for the Center for Fiction's First Novel Prize. I'm going to share a one-sentence cut from the publisher's synopsis, and then I'm going to share my own synopsis because I don't think they're super similar. And I'm going to talk about the marketing of this book in a second. The publisher says, a young woman's dark obsession with her privileged classmate and the lengths she'll go to win his love, from prize-winning Chinese-American author Susie Yang. I don't think that really captures it. Ivy of the title is the daughter of Chinese immigrants living in America in Massachusetts. And she is struggling against her parents' very strict rules. And this is, goes back to kind of what we talked about earlier, the push-pull with the children of immigrants in America and sort of the culture disparities and trying to walk the line between like fitting in with your American peers versus living the life your parents want you to lead.
Right.
So Ivy has a crush on a wealthy, popular boy at her school named Gideon, and her parents completely derail this crush. And I don't want to say any more than that because that'll spoil things. But she runs into him again years later, and their stories kind of converge again. Jordan from Jordy's Book Club rated this 4 stars as well. Same as my rating. Let me talk about the marketing for a second. I thought that this was sold in the sense of like it's going to be the story about crazy obsession. And later on in the publisher's synopsis, the words sinks her claws into are used to describe Ivy's relationship with Gideon and his family.
Oh.
I did not feel like that's what this book was about.
That's unfortunate.
It's not to say I liked it less. Like, it's just different than what I expected.
Oh, right. No, and I meant just the phrase sinks her claws into. It definitely skews the book.
Yeah.
A different way, makes it sound more like a, you know, Fatal Attraction kind of thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
So here's kind of what I thought this boils down to. I thought this was a story about a girl who is trying to figure out who she is. She's bristling against her parents' very traditional Chinese rules and customs. She desperately wants to fit in with her American peers. She thinks that she should live a certain type of respected life when she's older, or that a certain type of life would be more respected. But she's constantly battling this inner sort of darker wildness within her that doesn't necessarily line up with the life that she thinks she's supposed to be living. And this all plays out in the book. I think it's really about sort of who you want to be or think you should be versus who you are at your core. It's definitely character driven, but I wouldn't call it slow or quiet. There's more like a simmering tension, like in a simmering emotional tension that runs throughout the book. There's awesome commentary on the wealthy and the behavior of the wealthy. And I like that in my books when it's coming from somebody on the outside. I need that sort of outsider's perspective.
Right.
And Ivy is the outsider in that. The ending, I did see it coming. That didn't kill the book for me, the fact that I saw it coming. I do think it will be somewhat of a controversial ending, might be a bit divisive. I'll also say that if you need likable characters in your book, this is probably not for you, or like strictly likable characters. I'll also say that the comps for this book, like the other books that the publisher has compared this to, are all over the map. They compared it to Everything I Never Told You. They compared it to Social Creature, which is more of the obsession kind of camp.
Whoa, right.
They compared it to Luckiest Girl Alive. I don't even know how that fits in. Little Fires Everywhere. Maybe because it's also by a Celeste Ng. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was closest to Everything I Never Told You, especially in the beginning of the book. I don't think it was Social Creature.
This is interesting to me because whether we meant to or not, which I think we didn't because it's just occurring to me now, we have a little bit of a theme running through fall.
We do, yeah.
What you mentioned, the dichotomy between who you truly are and who you think you need to be, because you have White Ivy, I have Earthlings, and the last story of Mina Lee.
Absolutely.
And they're all about stereotypes and gender roles, and especially in young girls, how they work against those or to try and find their way through them.
And then we have our two therapy books to help you try to figure out who you are after those books.
Right. Well, my last pick, it's light, but it does involve relationships and trying to figure things out. It's Memorial by Brian Washington, comes out October 27th. In the book, Mike and Benson are an interracial gay couple living in Houston. Mike is a chef and Benson is a daycare teacher. They've been together for years, but the relationship has settled and they're both young enough to wonder, is this it? Is this all there is? Then, shortly after Mike's Japanese mother arrives for a visit, he gets news that his father is dying. They've been estranged for years, but Mike decides to go to Osaka to see him, leaving Benson with his mother for an extended visit. So you got a lot of situation going on there. What they learn in this time apart is either going to bring them together or pull them completely apart, end their relationship. This is being sold as a dramedy, which I kind of tend to think of like brain candy, but in the same way that I don't like silly in my brain candy or chiclet, I don't want it here. So I'm not sure. This book, as we mentioned about another one earlier, it may go completely off the rails, but it's being sold as something with a lot of humor, but deeper themes underneath. And that's Memorial by Brian Washington, coming out October 27th.
That's on my list too. And he wrote Lot.
See, and I didn't read that. Did you?
No, I didn't read it either, but I remember seeing it because it was a book of the month pick a while back. And I remember researching it for that.
Okay.
I think that might have been short stories. Yeah, Lot was short stories. And I think that's why I didn't pick it up, because I'm always tend to have trouble with it. I'm not a big short stories reader.
I'm hesitant with short stories. Yeah. Me either.
All right. That's the fall. And that's not the entire fall, y'all. There's obviously a lot of other books coming out, too, that we just didn't have time to talk about today.
That's right.
So, Catherine, tell me, what is your number one pick for fall?
Oh, I don't think it's going to be a surprise, because I tend to play it safe with my number one pick, even though it hasn't worked out for me once this year. But I can't break the habit. So I'm going with Alice Hoffman and Magic Lessons.
I like it.
How about you?
Full transparency. I had A Traveler at the Gates written in my episode plan for this spot. And then I started hearing things about it and I took it off. So I am now going to say Transcendent Kingdom by Yah Jesse. That first chapter completely pulled me in and I can't wait to get back to the book.
Okay. I think that sounds really, really wonderful as well.
Thank you, Catherine, for joining me. These are always my very favorite episodes to record.
Well, thank you so much for always having me. I love them too. It's like the bright spot in my summer.
Well, I hope I always have you. I hope you don't tell me at some point you're not going to want to do these anymore.
Oh, are you kidding me? No, no, no. That's not going to happen. Well, thanks for having me.
Of course. All right, y'all. As always, we will have links to all these books in the show notes. And there will not be a new episode next week because remember, we are on a bi-weekly schedule until I can figure out my life. I will be back the following week, which is September 16th, with Kate Stamen London, who is the author of the new debut novel, One to Watch, which is the novel based on a fictional TV show that is very similar to The Bachelorette. Talk to you in 2 weeks. Thanks so much for listening to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. You can find show notes with all the books mentioned in the episode, purchase links, and linked timestamps at www.sarahsbookshelves.com/podcast. And that's Sarah with an H. I'd love to hear your comments, feedback, and suggestions. You can find me online on my blog, sarahsbookshelves.com, on Twitter at Sarah's Shelves, on Instagram at Sarah's Bookshelves, and via email at sarahsbookshelves@gmail.com. And if you'd like to get exclusive bonus episodes of the podcast, you can support us on Patreon at www.patreon.com/sarahsbookshelves. And there's a link in the show notes and in my Instagram bio to my Patreon page. Thanks for listening.